Landfill is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon. Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Try to remember. Try to remember the best way to actually put your CV together. That's the important thing. The National Career Service is one of the crucial elements in terms of actually sorting things out from that point of view. And we are delighted to be able to welcome to the programme this morning a lady who's got ample experience in terms of putting together a whole range of things, who's currently a team leader for the National Career Service. We'll be talking specifically about curriculum vitae, resumes, if you happen to be from the States or various other factors. We're delighted to welcome Trudy Nieto to the programme. Good morning, Trudy. How are you?
Good morning.
Excellent. So it's marvellous to touch base with yourself. Now, it would seem that this is a huge gap in most educational establishments, whether it's university level or whatever. I mean, we have in the studio Kayleigh Carr, who's with us. And Kayleigh, have you ever been taught how to put together a CV?
I was, but only in school, and now it's completely different than we get taught now. So
only in school. So yeah. In terms of this recent survey, Trudy, what are the kind of key challenges that people actually fall into when they're actually putting together a CV? The CV crimes of a nation, shall we say?
Well, people often don't really know how to sell themselves well on a CV. This is the first impression you give to an organisation, so you really need to be able to talk about you and demonstrate your experience through it. People, really, there's a lot of support out there to get professionals to look at your CV, and that's the main thing we like people to know, that we're here to support them. So, you know, they're often too long, or they often don't describe you very much, and very often not really relevant to the job that you're applying to. So you need to target the CV to the job itself.
We're talking to editor of a local newspaper, Linkage Echo, recently, and he was saying that the easiest way to actually end up on their reject pile if you're applying for a journalist's job is to have a spelling mistake in your CV. Makes perfect sense, but you do have to check them time and time again.
Yeah, this is one of the most common things that we come across as well. Spelling and grammar. Always get somebody else to look over it, your CV, and do the spell checks on. But it is, unfortunately, because it puts people off straight away.
And also generic CVs. We hear a great deal about, well, it's one size fits all. It isn't, really. It depends on the kind of job you're applying for.
That's right. You really need to look to the requirements of each position and target it towards that. Often people just see a job and send that CV. And really, you need to be really looking at it. Give respect to the employer as well, you know, sort of really show them that, you know, you are right for that job. So you need to tailor it and really make sure you're bringing out your characteristics, your experience that are really relevant, so they can see straight away that you could be a good candidate for the job.
Kayleigh, you're in the position of obviously putting into CVs. You're currently obviously just going into your third year of a journalism degree at the University of Teesside. Yep. Questions for yourself?
I basically just want to know how you would say you would set out your CV, because the way I've set mine out, some people say it's the right way and some people say it's the wrong, whether I've put things in the correct order and whatnot.
Trudy, what's the girl to do? Some people say you said it this way, some people say that you do it that way. Is there a right answer?
Usually when you're leaving the university, you usually put your education up near the top and then work experience underneath that. For other people who have maybe been out of education for 6 or 7 years, then you swap it first. The experience has proven that your education has paid off. So, but we've got a CV builder on the National Careers Service website, and you can go there, and we've got a helpline you can call sort of from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the evening, 0800 100 900, and they can really support you. You can email your CVs to them and they can double check for you, and you can get professionals to look. Also check out your university as well. There'll be careers advisors there, and they can sort of support you with help with it as well.
And that obviously applies to the home of Siren FM, Lincoln University as well, from that perspective. I mean, it's interesting in terms of phrases you need to avoid these days. Team player, works well in a team, results driven, self-motivated perhaps. Is it again, you need to make something go into your curriculum vitae which is unique to yourself? It's your own USP, really.
That's right. They can be very bland, really, sometimes. But if you can demonstrate that you've being a good team player by giving a little example or some sort of achievement that you've had in the past, you know, whether it's from work or volunteering or from university, being involved in students' union or something like this, if you can demonstrate it, then people start to really believe that you are putting this into practice rather than just using bland words.
65% put an incorrect length on their CV. Presumably that's because it's too long, and people forget that actually you really only want to have maybe a couple of sides at most, preferably, you know, just two maximum before that's effectively it. You don't want to actually submit a dissertation or a thesis for your CV.
That's right. People, you know, are getting a lot of CVs through these days. Back in the 1990s, people used to have 5 and 8 page long CVs. Also for older workers, you know, just the last 10 to 15 years is sufficient to really be able to demonstrate the work that you've done and who you are. So I think often people make them too lengthy because they're trying to put everything on there, and you don't need to do that.
From your own perspective, I mean, clearly, as I say, you're now a key team leader with the National Careers Service. You've developed sort of confidence-building skills, transferable skills, etc., worked with a whole range of folk in insurance and customer services. Is this something which kind of crosses across the bay? Is it something that's uniquely problematic to British job seekers, that actually we're not selling ourselves, and these are the tools that you need to ensure you take part in the interview game?
That's really true. I think we are very reserved. I run a lot of workshops on maybe whether it's CV writing or interview skills. And, you know, that's one of the major points that we sort of bring up and start talking through. What are your strengths? People are very shy about speaking about how good they are at certain things, you know. And this is one of the major things that I come across.
And we live in an international global economy. I mentioned, obviously, our colleagues in the States refer to this as a resume. Do the same things apply whether you're sort of seeking work in Britain, in the UK, or whether you're indeed sort of looking for work overseas and abroad?
I would check out, because when we come across people from other countries, straight away I can recognise whether it's Spanish and Italian, they have a certain way of making a CV, and then I sort of show them our way. So I would check out with each individual country that you're going to be applying to, sort of look at what their CVs are like, because you want to be, you know, sort of going with a format that they recognise. So if you are thinking about going abroad, then you know, I would look individually at that country and see sort of how they format their CVs. They're changing all the time, changing in our country, changing in theirs. In Europe, they often have photographs, so that in America the same. But we're not quite there yet with the photographs.
Yes, I was wondering about that, because that's, I mean, I've had CVs land on a desk at Southside Broadcasting, I'm sure Siren FM as well, which have had photos attached with that. And it's mixed feelings with respect to that. Sometimes you think, well, yes, it can personalise the whole thing a bit more. Another thing, you might sort of say, oh, I don't want to actually sort of, you know, identify that bit of myself. But then I suppose you've got the other sort of nine of things of the online material. And don't get me started on social networking sites, because that's a whole other interview, Trudy, but that's a different perspective. Okay, a reminder, 0800 100 900 is the free phone call. Speak to a careers advisor, free 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Good heavens, you even work Sundays. I'm very impressed. There's that one. Or indeed you can go on the web to nationalcareerservice.direct.gov.uk. Is it ever too soon, Trudy, to actually start putting your CV together? Or would you say probably from about 16 or 17, well, that's where you should start thinking about it, and then really right up to probably your 60s and 70s? Perhaps.
That's right. I mean, we're here for people 13 plus, so yeah. We're here to give careers advice from people 13 plus, and it's, you know, I've certainly spoken to people who are almost 70, that sort of age, so it's not too soon to be thinking about it, you know, putting together a CV, whether it's a skills CV because you haven't got much work experience, but maybe, say, through schools and college might have been doing volunteer work or getting involved in writing magazines and things like this, so that it's not too soon to start thinking about it.
And we talked about some of the common CV mistakes. I did have a wry smile with the number one CV tip: make sure the email you're sending the application form from isn't a quirky personal email address such as liketoparty@gmail.com. Not good, really, is it?
That's right. I mean, I think it's good to set up a professional one, so you can keep that for your friends and then use the professional one for job hunting.
So you're saying that I shouldn't really sort of send in stuff to the BBC with @fluffytie.com, you know?
That's
all right. Trudy, it's been fabulous just getting a general flavour of some of the opportunities that are actually out there and some of the advice and help that the National Career Service can provide. I've got two final questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on Siren 107.3 FM and indeed Southside Broadcasting today?
It's been really great. Thank you very much.
So can we possibly prevail upon your good self to maybe join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us updated, like a good CV, in terms of how the National Career Service are actually developing and growing?
It would be a pleasure to join you again.
Great!
You can walk my path. You can wear my shoes. Lend a tug like me and be an angel too.